This is the Knowledge Bandits podcast, and I'm excited to get it started today. My name is Arum Galadima, and I'm from Jos, Plateau State, Nigeria. I've grown up some of my life in the United States, but have spent a considerable amount of time in Nigeria. So I've always been drawn to entrepreneurship. I can remember as a child going around my house collecting kobo and telling my family that I would be the money manager. Anytime they had change, they'd bring it to me, and if they wanted wanted me to loan them money, I would loan it to them, but they'd have to give me back with interest. I remember taking candy from the house and going out and selling it in school. I remember selling my bag lunches in the United States. I remember doing people's math homework for money when I was younger. I mean, and even all the way up until college, just waking up one day and my good buddy Afa was like, "Yo, let's start a business." Had no idea what we're going to start, but I was so on board. I was so hyped for it. After I think about 20 minutes of brainstorming, we determined that we were going to start a company that we called School Dues Rapid Foods. We were delivering fast food to primarily the African and the international students on campus. We discovered that none of them really liked the food that the cafeteria had to offer. So we looked at the area where we were in and we decided, wow, it would be an amazing thing if we just took one car and delivered multiple orders of food, just because everything was located, all the restaurants were located next to each other. And I mean, that was a very interesting business. I always like to say that we went from idea to implementation into first dollar within 5 days. And I would say that I realized that with all the business classes I took in undergrad, nothing really stuck quite like actually getting out there and starting a business and managing one or two people who were doing the deliveries for us as well. I mean, it was just an amazing experience that I wouldn't trade for anything else. Now we fast forward a little bit. I'm living and working in Washington, D.C. now and have thought a bit more clearly about entrepreneurship. You often hear about how there's so many opportunities in Africa, there's so many opportunities back at home, but it's difficult to find information. And for me, it's difficult to find inspiration. I can listen all day to the Elon Musks of the world, but it's not really giving me a good idea of what it's like to start a business in Plateau State in Nigeria. It's not giving me a good idea how to start a business in Lagos. You know, I just think there's a gap in that information, and that's what the Knowledge Bandits podcast aims to do. While in DC, I realized that I was meeting a lot of very interesting people, and all of the questions I asked them and all the people actually that I was meeting was, they're all people that had to do with the startup culture, the startup grind. And I started to think, you know, why don't I interview them in a more formal setting? Why don't I see if I can even monetize this? But mostly, how can I take this information and pass it along to other Africans who are in need of inspiration, who are in need of a little bit of advice that they don't typically get on a regular basis? I guess you could say that there was a bit of fear involved in making this decision to start the podcast. You always hear about entrepreneurs talking about the fears, what paralyzed them initially before they took the step to becoming a successful entrepreneur. And I can definitely attest to that. There's the fear of the unknown, essentially. There's the fear of being made fun of. There's the fear of failing. All of that comes into mind for many Nigerians and for many Africans. Failure in our culture is really not something that's welcomed as much. But I mean, I would say that that's what sort of stopped me initially from wanting to start this podcast. I didn't know how people would be receptive to my voice. Hopefully you guys can bear with me and listen to a lot of the great advice and a lot of the really nice voices of the other entrepreneurs that we'll be bringing on. But I mean, there was a little sense of embarrassment. There were all these things that were playing a major role in me deciding to do this podcast. But I realized I'm meeting the great people. I was talking to my sister and she was just like, you know what? there's really nothing out there like this. So why don't you get it started? Why don't you be that inspiration? Because one of the things I'm always talking about is how there's a little bit of a gap in information when it comes to the African market, almost in every industry. So I continuously saw this problem and I didn't see a solution that I could identify with. There are a few podcasts out there, but none of them that I identified with. So, I mean, I talked a little bit to a few people and asked them casually, would they be interested in a podcast? Would they be interested in something like this? And I got a lot of positive feedback. So I decided, you know, it's not that demanding. I might as well go ahead with it. In the end, if it gets to a certain point and I don't feel like releasing it, at least I could have 20, 30, 40 hours of conversations where people are literally just giving me advice. So I said, I resolved that the worst thing that could happen is that I don't release the podcast and I still have great information. I've still made great contacts and move from there. So I broke it down and it was a little less frightening to take that step to starting this podcast. So in starting the Knowledge Bandits, it was started just because of the passion I have for information. I saw that there was a lack of information as it pertains to startups and entrepreneurship in Nigeria, and started to realize that that's the case across many African countries. So I decided, you know what, through the network that I've generated in Washington, I might be able to initiate that inspiration for other aspiring entrepreneurs. And the Knowledge Bandits is a bit selfish because I get to talk to some of the coolest people, some of the coolest entrepreneurs out there. How I came to start it, it was literally just dragging one foot in front of the other. There are a lot of things that I didn't want to do, like to get on the microphone and speak, to purchase some of the equipment that I had to get, to learn how to use different pieces of software. There are a lot of things I didn't really want to do, but I took it one step at a time. I had a little bit of a background in the technical side, the recording and all that kind of stuff, but it was rough making the first contact, sending the emails, creating a list of 300 people that I emailed and only heard back from a few. I'm going to be circling back to some of those people who didn't respond the first time, but it was just a lot of work initially. And I've heard a wise person say, success is the accumulation of the little things that we do. And I always keep it ringing in the back of my mind. Another podcast I listen to, the host is always saying, the things that are easy to do are also easy not to do. So I keep that in my mind. I'm just like, you know what? If I sit down and do the research and find a bunch of these entrepreneurs and scour the internet for their email addresses, it's one step closer towards the goal I have for releasing a podcast. I then later figured out that I had to set a date. I had to set a timeline just because things would drag on for a really long time. And there's this concept that tasks will generally expand to the amount of time you've allotted them. And I've seen that is so true in my life. So I decided, you know what? I need to buckle down. I need to set timelines. I need to set goals for myself and I need to push forward and achieve those goals and reach those deadlines. And to be honest, it's not a very easy thing to always stick to a plan, to continuously push on. It's hard. It's boring kind of, but you realize that the road to success is the road to success is not about all of these glamorous turning points. And as we talk to a lot of these entrepreneurs, you're going to realize that it's just doing the right things consistently over time. They stack up, they add up, and they make a big difference in the end. And how I raised money for this, I strictly just, it's bootstrapped right now. Luckily, starting a podcast really is not too capital intensive, so through my 9-to-5 job, I was able to sponsor everything that I'm doing now. And I'm always fascinated with how long it takes people from idea to implementation. And I would say from the idea stage to actually interviewing my first person took about 2 weeks. And whether that seems long or short, that seems kind of quick to me just because I felt all of the pressure pushing back on me as I move forward. And it took a lot. It took a lot out of me to continuously push on and say, you know what? Instead of taking a nap, instead of sitting down and watching a basketball game or a football match or whatever, what I'm going to do is wake up early, sleep a little bit later, and get a few things done. And it just turned into a habit where now if I'm not doing something for Knowledge Bandits, it seems a little bit odd. So you have to sort of condition yourself, train yourself to get into a certain rhythm. And that way it becomes less painful. And I always like to say, I always like to tell people, change is never comfortable. If you're going to do something great, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. It's going to feel weird. It's going to feel awkward initially, but it's something that has to be done. And usually after that, I get into talking a bit more about the entrepreneur. So I ask the question, what fires you up in the morning? What is your morning routine? And why is that routine so important to you? And I would say that my routine varies a little, but more days out of the week, I will wake up around 5:10 to 5:20, go to the gym, work out from around 6 to 7, get back home, do something called Lumosity and Sudoku and a bunch of other things just to get my mind, to make sure I'm really awake, to get my mind working, get my mind active. After that, I will pull up the devotions on my phone, read something, say a little prayer, hop into the shower, and then head out to my 9-to-5. It's actually an 8:30 to 5:30. That's what they don't tell you about this grind. And I will generally, on my lunch break, I will try to fit in an interview or two during my lunch break or fit in some sort of work for Knowledge Bandits. And after that, around 5:30, if I have an interview, I'll do another interview, or I will head home to do some editing of the podcast or just sit down and do a little bit more research. I'm working on another project as well. So waking up early and waking up the right way is necessary for me. Before I was in the habit of waking up and just trying to get right into things, and it sort of gave my day a weird feel to it. But then I started to train my mind a little bit more. That's what I call it, like when doing Sudoku, doing certain things, doing Lumosity, for example, it's sort of training your memory, training the speed at which you process information. And I think that's a great way for me to start out my day, just because I'm more awake, I'm more alert, and I find that it carries me, it sustains me throughout the rest of the day. So what motivates me in the morning is the chance that I have every day to talk to really interesting people. That's primarily with Knowledge Bandits. But on the larger scale of things, I see this huge gap of information in Nigeria and across Africa. And what motivates me is the fact that I can also make a difference. I can help out with what I perceive as one of the largest problems on the continent, and the access to information. And I remember I was listening to an interview that Elon Musk did, and this was well after he exited PayPal, started Tesla, and started SpaceX, working in Tesla, all the things that he's doing right now. There was an interview where someone asked him, I mean, how did you decide to get into all of these things? And Elon Musk said, well, initially, I just wanted to be a physicist, but then I sat down and thought about some of the things that were going to most affect humanity. And he stumbled upon three or four things, and he said he never expected to change each and every one of them, but it just so happened that he set his vision on improving humanity, and it had an impact on his career. And so from there, I decided to look at my career by that same yardstick and think about some of the things that'll impact humanity most from my perspective. And one of them is the lack of access to information. I mean, there are a few other things, but I take it all in stride. I look at what I might be able to affect right now. And I think it's a really good practice to have, just because people realize that there are a lot of problems, but they don't necessarily see that they can be part of the solution as well. Solving problems for humanity, we sort of reserve for these great thinkers, these amazing minds. But if everyone approaches a career path and thinking of in terms of what is most important to humanity, what's most pressing to humanity. I mean, it would be amazing just to see the change that would happen over time, just from a lot of people pursuing what they were passionate at. And I mean, it's not necessarily entrepreneurship. It's, for lack of a better example, I'm in DC, so it could be through policy reformation. I just think it's a great practice to have, is to see not necessarily what kind of mark you can leave, but what is the most pressing thing for humanity and how can I be a part of that solution? Just because I think that as a person who lives in the world, it's my duty to give back and my duty to advance humanity in general. And we always talk about entrepreneurs being fueled by passion, but also having to be realist. You have to be able to fund that entrepreneurial lifestyle. So what I do is I have a 9-to-5 here in Washington, D.C. that, 8:30 to 5:30 again, that sustains me and is pressing a lot of the work that I am doing with Knowledge Bandits. And here we have to talk about the downs. I mean, it's been with Knowledge Bandits, I'm trying to keep everything particular to Knowledge Bandits. It's been a very, very short journey so far. I mean, I had this idea really in February, and here we are towards the end of March. So I think I would say one of the biggest downs I've experienced so far was interviewing someone, and it was a fantastic interview. Everything that happened throughout the interview, all of the questions were just so organic, and I thought it was one of the best things that I had done. And I was also impressed on the entrepreneur's end. Then we started coming to the close of the interview, and I noticed that the call had cut out earlier, and I forgot to press the record button again. And I was devastated. I was mad, because that is one thing that I put on my mind that I would have to do. Just knowing myself, I knew I might forget to press the record button, and I had this huge list of things set out to make sure that I was able to press that record button, but somehow something slipped through the cracks, and I missed a lot of great information. And I mean, I was really upset with myself. I had to explain to the entrepreneur I was talking to that I didn't press the record button and all this stuff. And really, I never want to appear incompetent. I don't want to waste people's time, especially. But here I'd successfully done both. One thing I found is that instead of trying to mask and hide the problem, just correct it right away. And I told the entrepreneur what happened, and they're like, "Oh, you know, it's okay. I have a little bit more time, so let's just take it from the top, and hopefully it can be just as organic as it was the first time." And you know, it was very, very encouraging for someone who is already feeling uneasy about putting himself out there, talking to other people and having to come up with questions and information on the spot. It was tough for me, but the fact that someone was so gracious when I came out right away and said, "Look, I made a mistake. This is what we have to do." And I'm not saying that every time you make a mistake, it's going to go just like that. Sometimes you might make a mistake and that's the end of it. The person wouldn't want to do the interview again. The person might not want to work with you again. And I mean, that's part of life. I could tell you since then, I haven't forgotten to press the record button. I would say another thing about starting up any sort of venture, any other project, is that there's this little voice of doubt that's always in your head. And for me, the voice will continuously say, "What makes you think that you can be the person to deliver information to other people? What makes you think that you're good enough to do anything like that?" And I mean, it is very, very hard to quiet that voice. And sometimes the focus shouldn't be on quieting that voice. It should be pushing through in spite of that voice. And as you begin to listen to the guests who we have on the Knowledge Bandits, you'll start to realize that voice doesn't really go away. It, in fact, sometimes it's amplified with the more success a person is able to attain. But you find an entrepreneur is able to to push forward and work in spite of that voice of negativity. And like I said before, change is always uncomfortable. And I think one of the biggest things is that people like to feel comfortable. They're in their comfort zone. They don't have to worry about anything coming and shaking that up. But for all of those aspiring entrepreneurs, just get ready for constant change. Imagine living in uncomfortable situations for years on end. You know, it's and a lot of the entrepreneurs that I've spoken with have said, if you're comfortable for too long, that's going to be one of your biggest downfalls. But I would say a way I push through that voice is by breaking whatever tasks I have to do into very, very small steps. And just taking that step, once you break it down, you simplify it a little bit more, you see that it's not actually that difficult. You write down all the things that you need to do, all the things that are mandatory, all the things that are pressing. You do those things right now, and then it sort of gives you the motivation to go a step further. And it's not like you're making this huge leap all at once. You're taking small steps, incremental steps, to that point of success that you've set for yourself. And on the flip side, I would say that one of the greatest times I've had as an entrepreneur with Knowledge Bandits is every time before and after an interview. Before I start, everyone is always like, thank you for this opportunity. I hope I can be a person that inspires someone. Maybe even 20 years from now, someone walks up to me and says, oh, I was inspired by what you said on that podcast. And that makes me happy, because that's really why I'm doing this. I want to be able to spark the next generation of entrepreneurs. And I want to be clear, I'm not talking specifically about young entrepreneurs. There are people who are in their 50s, 60s, who are trying to get into that, to get into entrepreneurship. And that's what I mean. That next generation of entrepreneurs is what I'm looking to put out. But I mean, every time someone tells me that they think what I'm doing is great, they think that the way the interview flowed was great, it's just reaffirming. It's a really good feeling. It keeps me going. But in the grand scheme of things, it's just knowing that I can be a bridge between that lack of information and the people who need the information. Occasionally I'll ask, what is the greatest thing about starting where you are right now? And I would say for me, it's that I know so little and I'm able to talk to people who know so much. It's exciting to learn. I mean, I try to do something intentionally. I try to learn intentionally every day. That's one thing that I have set on my agenda, is learn something new every day and learn intentionally. And with interviewing a lot of these entrepreneurs, it's not even a challenge for me anymore. Sometimes it's hard to go through a day. You go through your regular work day and you have to think about learning something new. If I'm talking to entrepreneurs, I don't even have to seek out information. I literally just listen, and all these people are so generous with their time, so generous with their knowledge, and they just pour information out that I find valuable. And I definitely think that some of the Bandit listeners will find it valuable as well. And with that, we're going to enter the rapid fire round. And it's going to be a little bit awkward, because I'm going to ask myself rapid fire questions and I'm going to answer them. So what was stopping you from originally taking the step to become an entrepreneur? For me, like I said, it was the fear of people not liking my voice, the fear of people not liking the questions, the fear that the entrepreneurs would think what I'm doing is really stupid. I mean, there's so many things to be fearful about, but again, I just kept my focus on the people who are like me, who would find some sort of utility out of it. And I mean, I think of myself as the average person in almost every respect. If it's something that I think I would find use for, I feel like there are at least a few people out there that will find use of it. And that's really what it's about, is just, even if I'm helping just one person through this podcast, my job would have been done. And at what point did you stop looking at your business as a project and more as an actual business? I mean, for me, this is really still a project, because I'm building a network. I'm trying to figure out what I can do with the information I'm getting to better help those who want to be able to move back to their countries across Africa and do business, and also for those people who are living in those countries and want a little bit more information on how to conduct business, just because there's a lack of information for people living in diaspora as well as for people living within those countries. So I would say I'm still sort of struggling with that, looking at it as a project, because I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to fulfill those needs right now. And what quality do you have that most contributes to your success as an entrepreneur? I would say that I am an optimist. Some people have told me that I'm an optimist, but I always tell them, you know, I think I'm a realist. I think no matter how hard I see a clear road on how we can achieve that, sometimes people come up to me and they're just like, you know, I have this idea for a business, and immediately I start going through step by step how they can monetize, how they can get to the next level. And I would say that it's one of my gifts as an optimist, and also the ability to be able to encourage other people. I love doing that. And what quality do I need to improve on most is, it's sort of funny, I can encourage other people, but oftentimes I discourage myself, and it goes back to that little voice in the back of my head that's telling me I can't do this and that I'm not good enough, you know. So it's working past that, and I think I have a great network of people around me that are constantly encouraging me, constantly making me feel that I can make a difference, and it definitely helps. What's the best advice I've ever received? And who is it from? I would say that the best advice I've received is from my father and my mother. They've both told me this on separate occasions, but they talk about the importance of knowing your worth. I remember my dad sat me down one day. I have a blog post on this if you want to read a little bit more about it. But my dad once sat me down and he asked me, what are you worth? And like, what is your value? Like, how do you calculate your value? And I mean, being that nice little Sunday school boy, I looked to my dad and said, well, you know, as long as I can continue to help people and all this kind of stuff, that's what my value is. He's like, no, that's nice. But you have to figure out what you can do and how much it's worth you doing certain things. And oftentimes, and he told me, he said, oftentimes it means not doing something altogether. Just because it's going to pay you a lot of money doesn't mean it's actually worth your time. So that's one thing that has stuck with me. And one thing that I'm still working on is to understand my value, put a value on my time, put a value on my life. And it makes being able to focus so much easier. And focus, I just have to say, focus is an acronym I hear from my other podcast that I listen to. Follow one course until success. I mean, I think there's so many distractions in the world, and particularly when you look at the African context, there's so many things that someone can go to Nigeria, someone can go to South Africa, Kenya, Ghana. There are so many businesses that you can start, but The real challenge is not finding what business to start. The real challenge is focusing on one particular business to pursue. And do you feel a sense of belonging where you are right now? I would say I've felt extremely welcomed by every single person that I've interviewed. They're always so excited to share their stories, and literally every single person I've interviewed tells me, I hope that this will reach someone, and I hope that I'm able to inspire someone just like I've been inspired by people before me. And I would say it's always encouraging to know that half of the market, the people that I'm interviewing, find value out of it. The next test is going to be able to see whether the listeners find value out of it. And I mean, I definitely think it's going to be great to listen to some of these entrepreneurs who have very specific advice. Sometimes we talk to those people who have had high levels of success for 10, 20, 30 years, and they're so far removed from what that startup grind is like. So part of what I want to capture with the Knowledge Bandits is that startup grind where they can give you pointed advice, not from 30 years back, but pointed advice from probably 2-3 years back. I think it's very valuable to stay sort of relatively close to those times of turmoil, those times of stress, because it lets the bandits who are trying to embark on entrepreneurial journeys, it lets them know what they're getting themselves into. It lets them prepare a little bit better. And how did you finance your first business? That's interesting. Everything that I've done has been bootstrapped, whether it was starting the business in college with my friend, the food delivery service, or whether it was building up one of my apps. It was all finance. It was all bootstrapped. And what am I reading now? I am reading a book called A Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid by C.K. Pralahal. Yeah, it's a really good book. It talks about how pretty much up until this time, every single product that's been made has really been focused on those people who are living above the poverty line. But it also says there are a lot of people, most of the world's population isn't directly marketed to, because we assume that they can't take part in commerce, essentially. But this book is sort of breaking down those stereotypes and those notions. I mean, I definitely find it very interesting. It's shaping the way I think of marketing products. It's shaping the way that I think of what capitalism actually is and how capitalism can operate for the betterment of an entire society rather than a few. What advice would you give to a younger version of Arum starting out? I would tell him to start even sooner. As I look at it now, I'm still a relatively young man, but I feel that I should have started, even if sometimes with a podcast, I feel, man, you should have started a month sooner, that you would have been a month ahead of where you are right now. But I think you find that a lot of entrepreneurs say that as well, is just start sooner. And what is one internet resource or app that you couldn't live without other than Google? Let's see. I'm actually really just going to open my phone and look at it right now. So there are a few. I like Evernote because I often find myself sending emails and taking pictures of stuff and trying to keep track of it on my phone. But with Evernote, you're able to capture all of these ideas that you have, especially for people who are thinking of going down the road of entrepreneurship. You have a lot of ideas, and it can be really hard to organize all of your thoughts, but Evernote helps me. I know a lot of other people who have talked about Evernote, saying that it helps them organize their thoughts and helps them find some of the things that they thought about maybe a year ago or whatever the case is. Helps you find it a lot faster. I also use Time Buddy, which is an app that just lets me see and schedule some of my meetings a little bit easier, just because I can see what time it is any place in the world. And that's pretty useful right now. I also like the TechCrunch app. I love technology. I love startups. And TechCrunch is always keeping me at the cutting edge of that. I mean, I have to sometimes limit myself in getting on TechCrunch. But yeah, TechCrunch is one of my favorites. And I mean, aside from that, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, those are all cool things. I mean, there are a lot of cool apps out there, but I would say the number one is Evernote. And what do you do to unwind from a hectic schedule? So it depends on what's going on. Sometimes I love coming back home and sleeping. Sometimes I feel like I need to take a nap, which I actually haven't done in a while. Other times I feel like I need to come back and play FIFA or Call of Duty. Sometimes that's a great escape from having a hectic schedule. And other times I enjoy going to the gym and playing basketball. I mean, anyone who knows me knows that any chance I have, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to grab a ball. I'm going to go shoot around. So those are the main things that I do to unwind. And the rapid fire round has just ended, but now it's time to cool down a little bit. And one book that I would recommend to the bandits is The Creator's Code by Amy Wilkinson. It was very random how I stumbled upon this book. I finished from work and there was an entrepreneur, there was a startup event at a place called 1776 in Washington, D.C. And I decided to go. I thought it looked cool. I got there and there was actually someone speaking. Someone was talking about their book. And I mean, I'm always a bit wary about going to certain events where people are promoting their own books just because I feel like they're going to tell you whatever you need to hear to buy it. But I listened to Amy Wilkinson speak, not even about the book. Well, she spoke a little bit about the book, and I was actually quite surprised that she was literally talking about everything that she wrote in the book, which made me even more intrigued that she wasn't trying to hide anything. So it made me wonder, wow, what else is in the book if she's just giving up all of this great information here? And she talked about how she interviewed about 200 or so entrepreneurs from across the world. She interviewed Elon Musk, who's anyone that knows me knows that I'm fascinated by Elon Musk. But she says she interviewed all of these people and discovered that there are really six things that all of them kind of have in common. They have a lot of other things in common, but six really common traits that she finds across every successful entrepreneur. And so I was interested. I love reading the stories of other entrepreneurs. I love hearing about how they were able to get to where they are. So I bought the book. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I really bought the book because I wanted her to sign it. I had no idea who she was at first. And I was like, well, it would be cool that I bought a book from someone and they signed it if they turn out to be someone very famous or whatever the case was. But before I got home, I got on the metro and I was reading this book, and it was literally the most interesting book that I had read. And I would say it's one book that really pushed me into entrepreneurship. It made me realize that it really doesn't take any extraordinary or special gift to become an entrepreneur. It really just takes wanting to make that first step and pushing out of your comfort zone and literally just stepping out and taking that first step into failure. So I would recommend that book. It's called The Creator's Code by Amy Wilkinson to any of the bandits who are thinking about getting into entrepreneurship. And obviously there are others. Look at anything written by Malcolm Gladwell. He has a lot of great stuff out there. And The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. And actually, even before The Creator's Code, one thing that really opened my eyes to the world of entrepreneurship was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, I know that one is stated over and over again, but it really made me look at work in a completely different light. I mean, I read through it with my dad and we sort of both had these enlightening moments at the same time, and we're sitting there talking about what sort of ventures would be beneficial to Nigeria. So I think Rich Dad Poor Dad is great, but definitely The Creator's Code if you can find that. And also you'll be able to find links to all of these books on the Knowledge Bandits website. Just check under book list and there'll be a whole host of books recommended by some of the other entrepreneurs. Some things that I think that were beneficial to me. We'll have all of those listed on the website. And what advice would I give to those people listening who are afraid to take the next step that they know they should? So I think the reason I asked this is because I needed this advice. I knew what I needed to do, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And it's so cliche to say this, but just do it. I would encourage the bandits, if you have an idea, lay it out into, try and break it down into like 30 different bullet points. What do you need to do? And it breaks it down into really, really small steps where it doesn't even seem like you're making an impact. But by the time you get through with all of those 30 things on your list, you realize that you've made some significant headway. I think that's a good way that I used to trick myself into doing certain things. And I started doing that a long time ago, where right now it's at the point that I don't think too much anymore. I just jump into it and I just do it. Shout out to Nike. And as we're getting close to the end, about to say goodbye, I mean, we'll still tune in every Thursday. You'll be able to catch some more inspiring entrepreneurs, more inspiring people than myself. I think you'll really enjoy it. It'll be an exciting time. A lot of great entrepreneurs that we have up on the Knowledge Bandits episodes. And that's every Thursday starting on March 31st. So coming up very soon. Anyone who's looking to connect with me, just go to the Knowledge Bandits website and all of my information is under that contact page. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on SoundCloud, iTunes, all of that stuff. You can even send me an email. My email is Arum, my first name, at knowledgebandits.com. Feel free to send me an email and talk to me. If you want to be featured on the Knowledge Bandits episode, I would love to have your story up there. So feel free to go to knowledgebandits.com. Under contact, you'll find all of my information. Feel free to send me an email. And as we leave, I always ask the final question. It's something I actually haven't thought of it too much yet, but I'm just going to go ahead and ask it. So you're tasked with building the greatest business the world has ever seen. You can bring on any two people, living or dead. With you taking the lead, who would you bring on and what would you do? Elon Musk is definitely one person I would bring on. And I think bringing on someone who is really all about solving problems is something that I'm fascinated with. He's not really worried about amassing personal wealth. He's not worried about the image that he's sending off for other people. He almost went broke. I think just having someone like that around would be great. And actually, he's part of the Creator's Code. And I remember speaking with Amy Wilkinson because she was actually able to interview Elon Musk in person. And my first question to her was, so you talk about how all of these entrepreneurs are kind of the same and there's nothing really special about them. But just from watching Elon Musk in interviews, I feel like he's just this different kind of person. And she's like, you know what, to be honest, he is one of the smartest people in the world right now. She said just being around him and being able to feed off of his energy, she said it was sort of very powerful, just because there's one guy who knows so much and is still curious to learn. I think that's one of the things that's most intriguing about Elon Musk, is that it appears that he's always trying to learn. And I mean, I don't know him personally, and I might meet him and change my mind. And the second person I would want to start a business with is Dangote, because I think Dangote's work ethic is unlike anyone else's. I've seen a few interviews, and granted, he came from an affluent family that gave him a great loan to start off, but what he's been able to do with that loan, I mean, it's a large loan, but in the scope of what he's been able to do, it was really a small drop in the water. I think the vision that Dangote has specifically for Africa is amazing, and that's definitely someone I would want to partner up with. And I think with Elon Musk and Dangote, one of the biggest things I would try and tackle is being able to provide access to information to everyone across the continent of Africa and everyone who's sort of living below the poverty line. I mean, there's so many people that I grew up with in Nigeria who are so much smarter than me, who, who showed this sort of amazing potential, but they weren't able to come to the U.S. and thus they weren't able to have access to information like people in the U.S. or UK or some of these other really developed countries have. So one of my biggest things is providing that access to information, particularly to people in Africa, and seeing some of the innovative solutions they'll come up with. I mean, I'm definitely a big believer that once we provide people with access to information, we're going to see some of the most innovative solutions coming out of Africa and coming out of the quote unquote, the developing countries. And there you have it. That's the team. Elon Musk, Alhaji Aliko Dangote, and Arum taking the lead, apparently, because that's how the question goes. It's really been fun for me to get out and talk. This is probably the most you guys will hear me talk ever. And probably for good reason. But I definitely hope that you tune in next Thursday to hear from some of these really inspiring entrepreneurs. Remember, the Knowledge Bandits podcast is launching March 31st. Tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your brothers, tell your sisters, tell your uncle, tell your auntie. Let all of them know that they're going to be able to find some very inspiring entrepreneurs from Africa and inspiring entrepreneurs from across the globe who are doing really amazing things in Africa. And I would say, as always, but we're just starting out. So, bandits, stay inspired.
This is the Knowledge Bandits podcast. We want to thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, or Stitcher. You can also follow Knowledge Bandits on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And as always, bandits, stay inspired.